Let's open our Bible, shall we, to Psalm 144, the 144th Psalm in God's Word. We'll take up verse number 12. Today's message is entitled, The Patrimony of Manliness. We know that we live in a time of immense change, cultural shifts. It used to be the culture would change perhaps once every 10 years. But with the advancement of technology and the like, we see that the culture then began to change maybe once every 5 years. And now it seems as though maybe once every 2 to 3 years. There are great changes, and some of the changes have created a great crisis. And so we're going to look at the patrimony of manliness. The psalmist David, then our sons will be like plants nurtured in their youth, our daughters like corner pillars that are carved in the palace style. The patrimony of manliness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we could assemble ourselves today. We thank you for the measure of health, life, and strength and opportunity that you've given us. And Father, we pray that you might fill our hearts in such a way, Lord, that our hearts will remain filled until the next time we assemble again. Now, Father, you know about the crisis of manliness in our culture. We pray that you teach us well, even as adults, as parents, as grandparents, and even allow our youth and our small children to perceive your wonderful plan. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Every Sunday we recite, Glory be to the Father, and we extol and bless God as our Father. We are his sons and daughters, and thus this gathering is a family affair. And our good Father has given us a patrimony. Patrimony meaning fatherly gifts or endowments. He's given to you and I the patrimony gift of identity, his and her gifts of male and female. Thus, seated before me this morning are male souls and female souls, and each gift possesses divine dignity. These two gifts are unique, identity, unique roles, and unique purposes. And though the gifts are unique, they're not exclusive. The man needs the woman, and the woman needs the man. Let the church say amen. You see, his gift of maleness completes her, and her gift of womanhood completes him. So their roles are intended to be complementary, not competitive, cooperative, not contentious, definitive, not divisive. And yet we're well aware of the cultural wars in our country, that cultural relations between males and females are increasingly filled with distrust, resentment, uncertainty, and frustration. Behind broken relations are broken people. And because of sin, the God-given image of male and female has been marred and corrupted. And thus it takes the work of the Holy Spirit, who has the responsibility to properly restore the image of God expressed through the patrimonial gifts of male and female. So our focus this morning will lend itself towards the patrimony of manliness. Now, the point I'm about to make cannot be re-emphasized or emphasized enough, and it's this. Proper, appropriate manliness is critical to the survivability of the culture. Now, you say, well, why? Where there is the loss of manliness, it leads to anarchy, confusion, conflict, evil, unrest, and violence. You see, the instilling of proper manliness takes a tag team. It involves both the father and the mother. You see, the father is to model manliness to his son, and the mother is to model gentleness towards her son. So when the models of gentleness and manliness are seen and received by the child, the preponderance of the time, it leads to the child becoming a gentleman. Manliness from the father, gentleness from the mother. For study after study reveals that where there is an infant, a young child that grows up without the nurture, love, and empathy, compassion, and worth from a mother or a mother-like figure, the probability of sociopathic outcomes grows considerably. You see, the mother has to nurture the soul. The soul has to be loved. The soul has to be affirmed. The soul must sense its own worth. And the mother nurtures the soul of the young child, the boy in particular. But the father, he models manliness to the soul. and both together creates a gentleman. You see, beloved, today's environment where the sexes are at each other's throats, where there is the battle of the sexes, then you have the fatalities of the children. In other words, there are no winners or losers. Let the church say amen. In other words, the losers, if any, are going to be the children. As husband and wife are fighting one another, as male and female are fighting one another, the ones who are watching the spectacle are the children. It's not wholesome. It's not healthy. It corrupts. It diminishes. Therefore, the endowment of giftedness, of manliness, is being compromised because young boys are not receiving the proper model. So let's examine our text here in Psalm 144, verse 12. This is a kingly prayer, and the king throughout the psalm, he petitions God to bless and to cause his people Israel to prosper. And throughout this psalm, he's going to use agricultural metaphors to signify the blessings of God. So when we come to verse number 12a, listen to the desired pronouncement upon their sons. Then our sons will be like plants nurtured in their youth. In this morning's message, Patrimony and Manliness, the first thing I want you to jot down is that the path to manliness begins with defining words. You see, in the Latin, the word were, which means man, if you would, it comes from the word virtue. In other words, the word virtue and man are almost synonymous, that the man must be grown, or if you would, formed in virtue. So in other words, it means this. A young boy needs moral clarity. Where there's moral clarity, there will be certainty. Where there's certainty, it gives strength to the soul. Why? Because a boy is called to manhood to engage in guardianship. Well, what is guardianship? As soon as God made Adam, he placed the man in the garden to keep, to guard the garden. He was to defend the garden, protect the garden, which is implicit that there is an enemy. And we know that as time would go on, that the serpent would enter the garden, the arch enemy, the nemesis of God. And Adam failed to guard the garden. You say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you this, that manliness needs moral clarity. And where there's moral clarity, then a young child who becomes a man will have the wherewithal. They will have the perception, the discernment to discern good from evil, and they will have the valor, the bravery to stand up to evil. You see, manliness involves protecting. Let the church say amen. What is a man called to do? He's called to protect his family. So, when a boy is young, he's to be taught that you're to protect your brothers and your sisters. When a little boy is young, he's taught that you're to protect the interest and the welfare of your mother. Why? Because God has called you to manliness as a guardian over the home. So with moral clarity, as was implicit with Adam, Adam, I want you to confront and stand up to evil. Well, what is manliness? Manliness stands up and confronts evil. But not only that, manliness recognizes that evil is cowardness. It's cowardness. That evil is to be confronted. And if a young boy is not given moral clarity, then he does not know what to stand up to and what to defend or who to defend. You see, beloved, he's called to be a guardian. Manliness confronts moral evils, and it rejects criminality. You see, a man must stand up as a guardian unto God. So what are the implications? The implications are the following. There should be no greater constituency on this earth towards manliness than the constituents who are women. You see, women, where there is manliness under God, then men will confront evil and men will renounce criminality. But where there's the wavering and the diminishing of manliness, now evil and violence begins to soar in the culture, which means that it becomes unsafe. Just like in the District of Columbia, where a woman goes out to jog and she's murdered and she's stabbed in her neck, if you would. It becomes unsafe for little children to play out front of the premises of their home apartment complex. As young men come into the community and they shower the community with gunfire and innocent children lose their lives. You see, where there's the lack of manliness, there's the proliferation or the growth of evil, because he's to be groomed as a guardian, as a protector. But what do we see all too often? We see mothers who think it's cute to have a boy. And if you would, sometimes the little boy's hair is indistinguishable. The hairstyles than that of a little girl. Sometimes they're wearing jewelry that is reminiscent of that of a little girl. Sometimes the attire that they have and the colors they wear are indistinguishable of what gender they really are. You say, well, I just want my boy to look cute. It's not about he looking cute. It's about he growing up into being a man one day. Listen, cute won't get the job done. Cute won't protect a wife. Cute won't feed children. Cute won't protect the home. Cute will not stand up to evil. Cute will not renounce criminality. You need a child that's going to be reared to be a man. The lack of manliness contributes to the proliferation of evil upon the earth. Because if good men do nothing, evil will triumph. But men cannot be good if they haven't been taught good from evil. And thus many of our young children are ignorant. And they don't know right from wrong. And they don't know what to stand up and stand against. But there's a second thing I want you to know about manliness. It requires one is rooted and grounded. Psalm 144, verse 12, then our sons will be like plants nurtured in their youth. Notice the agricultural metaphors applicable to men. And you say, well, I don't know. I would think agricultural metaphors would be used for a woman rather than a man. So what is God doing? He's doing the following. Listen. The first man was a husbandman. Husbandry. What is husbandry? Husbandry is agricultural terms. It is a farmer. A farmer is a husbandman. In other words, Adam was set over the garden to tend to the garden. Adam was given a wife. And once he was given a wife, now he's to tend to his wife. He's to be a husbandman to his wife. In other words, just as he cares for the plants, just like horticulture, now he's to care for his wife. God uses agricultural metaphors often when speaking to the man. So when the psalmist pray that our children be like plants, well, what is the desire of one who plants seeds? That the plant would take root. In other words, that our sons will be rooted and grounded. And when they're rooted and grounded, then they will sprout up. They will grow up. And when they grow up, they will have the propensity, if you would, towards the sun. They will grow up straight, and they will be nurtured by the sun being the Lord Jesus Christ. He's making the petition that our sons will be like plants nurtured in their youth. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. We are the heritage of the Lord. You say, well, what does it mean when the Bible says, for children are the heritage of the Lord? The word heritage has the connotation of legacy. Well, what kind of legacy is God trying to instill in young boys? Listen to me. A fatherly legacy. In what regards, Pastor Bob? God wants to instill in our young boys the following: fatherly love that sacrifices, fatherly love that provides, fatherly love that protects, fatherly love that keeps its promises, fatherly love that leads, fatherly love that forgives, fatherly love that remembers the good, fatherly love that inspires. In other words, as the little boy is introduced to Jesus Christ and he is exposed to and the recipient of the Heavenly Father's love, now that Heavenly Father's love that he is the recipient of, now he's to extend that same love when he becomes a man to his sons and daughters. As God forgives him, now this earthly father is to forgive his children. As God remembers our good, now fathers, remember the good of your children. As God leads you, fathers, lead your family. As God sacrifices for you, fathers, sacrifice for your children. As God protects you, fathers, protect your children. In other words, it's a legacy of fatherly love for children are the heritage, the legacy of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. So, listen to me carefully. God has given you the endowment of identity. God doesn't want any of us to go through an identity crisis. God doesn't want us to have an identity disorientation, uncertainty, or confusion. God doesn't want us to despise the endowment, the gift of identity that he's given us. If he's given you the endowment, the gift of maleness, masculinity, manliness, don't despise the gift of God. As God has given you the gift, image of femininity, of womanhood, and the like, don't despise the way God has made you. Because you have to understand this: God did not make you for yourself. God made you for him. In other words, God made you because he has some purposes that he wants to accomplish in and through you. God's will for you is unique. There are some unique purposes and will that God wants to accomplish through your manhood, through your masculinity, through your manliness. Don't despise your identity in God, because God has a unique plan and will associated with your identity. Don't despise your identity of womanhood, of femininity, and the like. God has given you that because he has a unique will and purpose to accomplish in and through your life. When we become disoriented, we become frustrated, and we begin to frustrate the will and purposes of God. That's why it's such a tussle. In other words, God is saying, don't fight my grace. Receive my grace endowment of your identity. For God has a unique purpose for who you are and how he's made you. Let the church say amen. Amen. Now, thirdly, manliness creates and passes on a legacy. You know, regardless of what people may say, things may change, times may change, but human nature remains the same. Human nature remains the same. And there's some unchanging felt needs that every little boy, every child has. Listen to me. For that child to grow into proper manliness, they need time, attention, affirmation, encouragement, and accountability. Listen to me. There's an old saying, if you want to jot it down, you can do that. is not what you expect, it's what you inspect. In other words, you can have expectations of your children, and listen to me, and you say, "Whoa, wait a minute. I didn't expect this. My child is this way, but I expected this thing rather than that thing." You say, "Well, what are you telling me?" It's not what you expect, it's what you inspect, which means that we have to be engaged in the life of our children. Now listen, when it comes to plants, guess what? You got to water those things every day. You got to make sure they get proper sunlight every day. Because you know what? If you don't, if you neglect them just a little bit, they begin to wither. Guess what? They were straight, but now they begin to lean. You following me? And when they begin to lean, listen to me, their bent is going in a different direction. And if you would, they are falling. Guess what? They are dying. They are dehydrated. Well, what is it they need? They need the water of life, Jesus Christ. Their souls have to be refreshed in order for them to grow into their manliness. It's not what you expect. It's what you inspect. And listen to me, guys. Listen to me very carefully. The evidence of manliness is the rejection of evil. You have to reject evil. See, well, what has God called? He's called us to be men of God. We got to reject evil. Manliness is rejecting criminality. You're trying to solicit me to do something criminal? You're trying to solicit me to do something unethical, immoral, or the like? In other words, manliness, if you would, it confronts and it stands up to evil because evil is cowardness. You see, people who are cowards, they prey upon the weak. Let the church say amen. People that are cowards, they will prey upon those that are vulnerable. Let the church say amen. They exploit people. Why do you think they have their schemes to get on, have these telephone calls and all of these kind of scams and things of that nature? You know what they are? They're scums. They're cowards. A man stands up to evil and calls it by his name. You know what's wrong in our churches? We got too many cowards in the pulpit. Men who are not willing to stand up and confront evil. You see, if we confront evil, the way that we need to confront evil, a lot of stuff that's going on will stop going on. But because we are afraid what so-and-so is going to think, what so-and-so is going to do, who's going to be with me, who's going to be against me, we don't want to make any waves or any, we don't want to ruffle feathers. Listen, it's not about that. You need to stand up and be a man of God. Confront evil. Why? Because souls are on the line. Little children's lives are on the line. Now, you listen to me very carefully. I'm going to shut this thing down. Not everyone is called to ministry. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. It's not for everybody. God has qualifications. God discriminates. God screens. God makes sure that it has to meet his criteria, his requirements, because you can't have someone up here who is effeminate, sending mixed signals to little children and confusing young souls. You see, I have to be all in with God. And if I'm not all in with God, I'm going to confuse people. You're either in or you're in the way. You're either all in or you're in the way. And I don't want any child to stumble because of a poor example that I set before them. Therefore, let us model the fatherly love of God that leads, that loves, that protects, that sacrifices, that forgives, that remembers the good. And you'll be surprised as we model the fatherly love of God, our sons and daughters, by his grace, more times than not, will prove to be sons of God and daughters of God, not only through our words, but through our example, the patrimony of manliness. Let's stand and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the great love you have for us. And Lord, how you desire manliness, appropriate, proper manliness, Lord, that defends, that protects, that guards against evil and evildoers, that secures the welfare of a spouse, of a wife, and of children, that contributes to the decline and pervasiveness of evil in the culture. Father, we pray that your will be realized even through the image that you have bore us with, even the image of maleness. Now, Father, help our men, help our boys, help our women, help our children. And then, Father, for those that are struggling, God, we pray that you give us love, give us patience, but Lord, help us to hold one another accountable because you hold us accountable. Now, Father, be merciful. We pray for families and parents, Lord, who have children for whatever reasons, Lord, have not followed the example that's been set before them. We ask for your grace. We ask for your patience. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your perseverance, that we not become faint-hearted, but we continue to pray and we continue to live the life. Now, Father, we commit this into your holy hands. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen and amen. Thank you.